You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some. Beware,
IGN GameScoop.
Your hair's looking good.
Thank you. I was just trying to make a hair appointment because it's time to get a haircut.
Yeah, I need one bad too.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me today, Justin Davis,
Scoop.
Brian Altano, Greg Miller.
Hi.
We've got a great show for you this week. We're going to be talking about GTA San Andreas. We're going to be talking about Toys R Us, but first,
what year is it? Talking about Blockbuster Video? Jeez.
We gotta talk about Nintendo and that Smash Brothers presentation.
Oh.
I cannot believe how much content is coming to Super Smash Brothers for Wii U.
Bring us up to speed. Brian and I were doing Let's Plays when this happened, so I don't even know all of it.
Did you take notes? Do we have it? There's so much.
Yeah, I mean, I've got the most important parts.
Give me the Damon highlights.
Yeah. They announced 50 things. 50 features of the game, and then they actually even went over. They did like 52 bonus features.
We did get bonus features.
Actually, computer, let's just B-roll.
It's the computer's broken. It's making a weird noise.
The most important thing is that now 8 players. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway.
8 players,
a lot of people.
Okay. Oh, I love the stage.
Stages.
This is the best.
I know. I'm so excited because I was so excited when I watched it, and now Altano gets something to see it for the first time.
So here's my favorite thing about that stage. You can get dudes down in the bottom part and just smash them against the ceiling.
Look at how they announced it. They're like, you have 5 players smash. Yeah.
And we thought that was a big deal. It was like, oh, they added an extra player.
And then I told you it was the announcer doing the whole presentation. Yeah. He's like, but wait, what's this? 6 players smash.
That's funny.
This looks so good.
The whole presentation, I'm super excited for Smash Wii U, but if you have, an hour, however long it was, watch the presentation
like
on Nintendo's
35 minutes, yeah.
Watch it on Nintendo's YouTube channel, because it's actually really funny and clever, like, how they presented all the information.
This is crazy. Yeah. This is utterly insane.
Yeah. It's pretty good. So you might think the stages are going to get really crowded, right?
Yeah.
Well, Nintendo thought of that. They built... It's its own mode.
You can only play on certain stages.
Yeah.
Oh.
And they've made bigger stages.
Is that a stage based on the original Donkey Kong I saw in the corner there?
Yeah, okay. No, it's awesome. It's got the girders and everything.
Oh my god, that's so cool. I saw a Galaxy stage back there. There's a new Sonic stage.
So 4 bigger stages.
And they also announced, we're not going to see it in this B-roll, but there's certain stages that are like all enclosed. They're in a cave and stuff.
Yeah.
And when you're in over 100%, if you get knocked into certain things like spikes, then it's a smash.
Oh.
And so that's how they get around people having to be smashed off the stage. It's like if you get to 100 and you get knocked into lava, then that's one stock gone.
Gotcha.
Which I thought was like really clever, right? Because that's always been like on huge stages like that, that's kind of a problem.
See, this is how you get me to buy the same game twice.
Yeah.
That's the trick.
Oh, you were going to buy Smash There's, no matter
what. Oh, I was going to do it anyway. But I was worried because honestly, a lot of things about Smash for me is unlocking stuff.
Yeah, it's getting
new trophies. It's unlocking new characters.
Here's the danger,
stages though. And stuff like that.
Well, Justin was saying he doesn't want to unlock everything again.
Yeah, I don't know. I get accused of being the negative guy, and so I want to be super crystal clear that I am incredibly hyped for Smash Wii U.
The hype is real.
The hype is real. I'm actually I didn't think I was going to buy it, and I watched this presentation, and it completely turned me around. The one thing that does disappoint me is, like, I spent hours setting really decent home run records with everybody. I beat 100 Man Smash with, like, half
the
characters.
How many trophies do you have?
470.
Yeah. So yeah, I think I have like 350.
And so the trophies I don't mind because they're different trophies. But anyway,
are they?
Yeah.
There's hundreds of different trophies.
I don't know if every single one is different, but the 3DS version has trophies mostly from portable games, and the Wii U version has trophies mostly from console.
Oh,
games.
The Donkey Kong stage has multiple planes.
Yeah.
So that's another new feature.
Cool.
There's a background and foreground now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that is my one single disappointment. Let's get it out of the way now. Is you do have to unlock everything again. None of your.
Are you sure?
I'm not 100% sure, but they didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
You have to unlock the characters again, and you have to get the trophies again, and you have to complete the challenges again, and your records don't carry over.
Here's where I'm not sure about that, though, because on the 3DS one, there's a Wii U logo in the corner.
That's to use your 3DS as a controller.
That's it?
Yeah. I mean, that's all they talked about. They talked about that in this presentation.
I guess that's how you can get 8 players going, though. Yeah, if you don't have 8 Wii U
That's exactly the intention.
Or 8 Pro controllers.
Or GameCube controllers. Or Wii Classic controllers.
Wow, or 3DSs. This is like the fighting game with the most controllers.
I think there's 8 controllers.
You can use a Wii Remote and a Nunchuck.
If I was a mother and I came into a room and there was 8 kids playing 8 different controllers,
I don't even
understand games anymore. What are you doing to me?
Maybe another big feature. Oh, that might be all the B-roll we have. Computer.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then there's a stage builder.
Yeah,
that's also really cool, right?
And it's actually really so. People harp on Nintendo for the gamepad, and they keep saying, like really good uses of it are coming, and this is totally a good use of it. It would be a huge pain to like try to draw or use a controller to try to draw a stage, but now it's just like, I'll just do a little zip zop here.
So what are you doing? Are you drawing things, or you're just dragging things from a toolbox and dropping?
No, you're drawing
like the terrain.
Yeah,
you pick train types.
Pick like a texture. Yeah, so it's like grass, and you just go, and then that'll be like the ground.
Okay.
And then you can also make like they show an example in the presentation where they made like a giant cave system, and people were fighting inside.
Wow, that's cool.
So like that and Mario Maker, like both like,
yeah,
they're doing really cool stuff with user generated content.
The Stage Builder, they said a lot of features were not going to be available at launch, but they were committed to them coming out eventually. Like you'll be able to share and like rate stages online and like some social features like that. Nintendo might even like elevate some and make them like.
Sure. You know.
Did you watch the whole presentation?
I did.
So, Brian, you'll love this. There's some sort of like retro, there are retro games in there inside Smash Bros. Did you understand this? Like if you get certain trophies, like for Wrecking Crew, then you can play a time trial version of Wrecking Crew.
The trophies have like little playable games attached.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can't tell, like the specific nature of how it's implemented will determine whether it's cool or not, because it's timed and it's a little snippet, and then it's like, hey, if you want the full game, it's on the eShop. And so it's kind of just like advertisements for the eShop's game.
Sure.
But Nintendo needs to like sell more games and make more money. So I'm sure they're thinking about how they can sell more eShop games.
Well, and they're also built-in demos. So it's like, I've played all these games, I grew up with them, but if you're like a kid and you're like, I don't know, Ridley, like, I don't know. And then it's like, then you get to play a few minutes of Super Metroid.
Because it's stuff from NES and Super Nintendo.
Yeah, and it's like experience where it came from, and like, same with Kirby's Dream Land, which is actually not the game that I played. So it's like, maybe I'll get to play a few minutes of Kirby's Dream Land.
Game Boy games are on the chair.
So they're pretty much ads for the games on the eShop.
Like demo versions of ads, yeah.
I don't know whether it's cooler than that or not. Like, I don't know if there's any like challenges attached to them.
See, I think for someone like me, that's not the most fascinating thing in the world, but I am happy that it exists because I'm all about getting younger players involved in the games that I grew up playing so they sort of have an understanding of why these things are in Smash Brothers.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people pick up a Wii U and they get Smash Brothers, or maybe they got Amiibos. And they just like the toys, and all of a sudden it starts coming together, and they're like, what's the history behind this? And they end up playing Super Mario World. Like, there's nothing bad about that. No. All of that sounds pretty cool.
Well, like we were saying earlier before we started recording, or we might have been talking about this last week, but my main is Captain Falcon.
Yeah.
And, like, he hasn't had a game in over a decade. And even when he did have a game, like, Yeah. He's not really like the face of like F-Zero.
Yeah.
Well, and so like kids aren't even really gonna know. Like the more time that passes.
And
like,
and Sakurai actually said, which is a weird quote, but he said they took the Ice Climbers out of the game because he tried to focus on characters that really only had like a future.
Yeah.
Which means Rob has a future.
Rob's never going anywhere.
Yeah, Rob. We'll never get Rob anything. I hope they give Rob his own game again, like a weird, quirky,
like Rob's adventure.
Well, he's never like been in a game.
But he could.
Well, I mean, yeah, I would love that.
Yeah,
love
he's
that.
Been outside a game.
Yeah.
I also think Sakurai, he obviously has a soft spot for his own games.
Yeah.
Like, he keeps putting more and more obscure characters from, like Meta Knight. Like, I like Meta Knight as much as the next guy, but, like, he just stands out compared to, like, Donkey Kong, right? Yeah. Or, like, the iconic Nintendo characters.
Yep. Also announced, if you buy both versions, you get a soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. And then from Club Nintendo, you get a 2-CD soundtrack.
Yeah.
And Mewtwo.
One CD of music from the 3DS version, one from the Wii U version. And then you also get Mewtwo.
Coming next year, spring 2015.
Oh, that's not until then, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so they're throwing in an extra character.
Yeah. One bonus character that's free.
That you'll get it on both platforms.
Interesting.
Yeah, if you bought both.
The more and more these days, Smash Brothers is a Nintendo museum.
Yeah.
And it's always kind of been that way. Yeah. That's how the trophies were, but, you know, and all these characters, and that's why they, like, the soundtrack is just insane. I think they said it has 3 or 4 times the music that's in the 3DS version.
Wow.
So that's, you guys really have both spent a lot of time with the 3DS version.
Yeah.
Mostly in single player?
For me, yes.
Yeah. So I got my copy when I was in Japan, and I was I was there with 6 other people from IGN who were all crazy Smash Brothers players.
Yeah.
So we were just like, anytime we went anywhere and something, like, they were like, oh, it's gonna take a half an hour for the restaurant.
Right. Or,
oh, we went to Tokyo Disney. Oh, the line is 45 minutes. Oh, great, bring it on. And we just played more and more Smash. We got on a 10-hour flight, played Smash the whole time. I find myself. When I'm here, I'll do quick pickup games with people, and then when I'm at home, I don't really play online much. Mm-hmm. I don't really care about that. To me, I'd rather play with somebody in the room so I can hear them scream and yell.
Yeah, that's the part. That's what Smash is all about.
It's just that I've never played much Smash Brothers, but I love the idea of it.
Yeah.
And I never thought of it as a single player game.
It's absolutely. I've played. I think my timer is at 30 hours now, and I've only played one match with friends.
Yeah.
I've done that all single player. Like, and I love the game, but I play it pretty casually. Like. Yeah. I bounce all around, so it's like I'll do, you know, 100-man smash. I'll figure out, okay, I'm going to focus on Kirby tonight, and I'll complete his 100-man smash. And then I'll do, like, a trophy rush where it's like this little mini game where you can unlock and earn the trophies. And then I'll do, like, you know, then I'll bounce around and do one other thing. Like, let's do classic mode with one fighter.
Yeah,
and
I find myself doing the same thing.
And then I close the thing, and I'm done for the night.
And it's actually really smart because there's a system in the game where there's this huge grid of challenges.
Right.
And if you're into it, it ends up making you do a bunch of things that you would never. You look like you're about to smirk. Are you good? Okay,
I'm just listening.
You're like, if you're into it, you end up doing a bunch of things that you probably wouldn't normally do, which is like they're like beat the game with every character, or like collect this many trophies, or hit this many this many home runs or whatever.
They start out easy and they get harder, so it'll be like create a custom Mii fighter. So in the beginning, the challenges are just sort of like a tour of like the game's features, or like. You know, play 5 matches with Samus, but then by the end, the final page of challenges are just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like beat Classic on the hardest difficulty, beat the single player mode with every single fighter, which I did last night. And so I've slowly been working my way through the challenges, and that's why I'm sort of disappointed that I'm going to have to go through them again, because it can get a little grindy, but if you just like I said, I just try to chip away at it a little bit each night.
Yeah.
And someday... In 2017, I'll be on GameScoop.
All of the grid will be unlocked.
Exactly. It's going to be so great.
Well, maybe, I don't know. I feel like maybe I have to check it out this time. I'm stunned by how much content is in the game.
You should. Everything about the game is super, super smart. I do think you should check it out. Like, in the single player, you can set the difficulty however you want. And it's like, there's like 100 difficulty levels, like from 1 to 1.1, 1.2. And it's like this thing that you just notch upward. But you have to, what's smart about it is you have to spend money at higher difficulties. So it's like a wager. Like, okay, I wager 500 gold that I can beat this on difficulty 6. But then there's more rewards if you pull it off. Sure. So, like, it's super friendly in that sense. Like, if you're new to Smash or not great at Smash, like, set it to difficulty 2 and have a ball. Like, or if you're an expert, like, it becomes a super different game. And, like, every single mode's like that. They all have that, like, super thoughtfulness put into them, like, that level of polish and quality.
Smash rules.
In other Nintendo news this week, a job listing suggests they may already be working on next-gen hardware development, and it looks like it would be for another handheld.
Yeah.
That's the surprising part. We've talked about it for a long time. What do they do about Wii U? Yeah. They would make another console, blah, 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 and then now we're talking about another handheld with the new 3DS already coming out soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like, the 3DS is older, so they have to be, you know, like that cycle just...
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess if they're hiring now, maybe they were thinking 2 years from now, they would release the new...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was an interesting story. A lot of people flipped out about it, but like Nintendo is always making... A new something always, and I mean I feel like the PlayStation 5 is in development.
Everybody's
right now.
Everybody's
like,
got something.
The Xbox One,
two
is in development.
The Xbox
right now.
One, two. Like,
there's new PCs coming out.
The 1-2 punch.
Yeah, so I mean, it just feels like there's always something.
Do you really think that's true? Do you think they're working on the next Xbox right now?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
that's just crazy, right? It's like 7 or 8 years from now it'll be done? Like,
well, I mean, I don't think it's like a thousand people in a room, but I'm sure there's 20 guys where they're just like, your job is to think about what we do after this. Like,
it's crazy to be like, one of those few people that this is your job, to plan what hardware is going to be released almost a decade from now.
What's the Sony, the guy that's in charge of the PS4 hardware?
Sean Leib?
Cerny?
Yeah, Cerny. Mm-hmm. He was hired by Sony in 2000 and... I'm totally going to get the year wrong, but it was like years before anybody even thought that they were thinking about the PS4.
Yeah.
And that was his job, was to like have the vision and like shepherd that process. So, you know, just because they're hiring someone today, like, yeah, I'm glad that we covered the news and it's interesting to talk about, but I don't anticipate it to mean anything until 2017.
Like, I mean, granted, I think with Nintendo, it's a little different. With the other consoles, I feel like they adapt and grow a lot differently than the consoles like we played growing up. Like when you got an NES, that was your NES until it broke, and then they made
they never broke.
Yeah, they never. Well, and then they made like the top loading one, you know. And then there was a Super NES, and that was it until the N64. But nowadays there's the PS4, and then there's a new, like, if you look at what the Xbox 360 looked like at launch.
Yeah, as compared to
Like with the blades and stuff like that versus like the one that was there at the end.
It's insane to look at the Xbox 360's launch dashboard.
Yeah.
Like, I used it. I used it every day for years and I barely recognize it.
Yep. So I think that like I think a lot of development now is put into the growth of these things and adapting, watching them adapt throughout time. But yeah, I feel like Nintendo is sort of always tinkering at something. And they're different than the other guys because they do put out a new hardware revision like every 2 years or so. Yeah. Like they're going after that, you know.
Well,
that,
they do now. That's become sort of their thing. Yeah. At least in the handheld side.
Yeah. They're going after that, you know. On the iPhone, you can pretty much say, well, they added 5 new things this year, and people are like, cool.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess they've always... All Nintendo handhelds have been like that. Like the Game Boy was the Game Boy Color, the Game Boy Pocket, and the Game Boy Color, and obviously the DS, the original DS was not a good-looking system, but then the DS Lite was incredible.
The original DS is really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Giant clamshell.
The interesting thing about this job listing is that it's in America.
Yeah.
It's not in Japan. And so that's the part that really throws me for a loop. Like, I don't understand that.
You would assume most of their hardware development happens in Japan.
Yeah. That's the portion of this that makes me sort of like, like, I feel like we're missing a piece of the puzzle.
We had Perrin Kaplan in the office recently who did...
old PR?
Yeah, old PR for Nintendo. And she talked a lot about how she worked there when, like, the DS and the Wii came in. And it was basically, like, they'd get a phone call and they'd go to Kyoto. And they'd be like, here's this new thing. And they'd go hands-on with it for the first time. And they'd have to, like, sort of bring that message back to America. And she talked about over the last few years, those walls have kind of been... chipping away, and it was less like it was in the 80s and 90s, where Japan would be like, we have a thing, and that's what we're doing, and America would be like, okay, so I guess we're doing this new thing where you move your hand in front of the TV. So I think that like it's getting closer now, and it's kind of cool to see that.
But it's the still, Wii, the hot new toy, where you move your hand in front of the thing.
Nintendo of America definitely doesn't call the shots, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, Nintendo of Japan gets to choose what direction this company is going in, and then Nintendo of America has to just be like, all right.
And Reggie just says, my body's ready, and they go.
Like, weren't you saying, like, a lot of the decisions that seem a little bit strange in America make more sense? Like, you went to Japan, and what were you saying about the 3DS? Well, first of all, they're everywhere.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
So even Street Pass makes more sense because...
Oh, yeah, Street Pass is amazing in Japan.
But weren't you... couldn't you, like, pay for things with the 3DS?
Well, I mean, there's the Suica cards, which is basically your Metro card in Japan, and you can use them to buy things from the vending machine, or you can touch it to your Wii U and buy games. Like that's a new thing they just started implementing that.
That's
like
awesome.
Over like the where the Amiibo sensor is, you just slap your credit card down.
So we have that. I don't know if it's RFID or like what the actual tech is, but like we have this thing that in America you're like, oh, what's the point of this? But then like once you're in Japan, you're like, oh, like there's this whole other portion of the world using this technology.
And I think like the whole clamshell design of handhelds there makes more sense because there's a lot of people just like jumping on a train, closing it up, throwing in a thing, and just getting on their way. Whereas on the Vita, it's like you need like a case or a man purse for it. Like you always have to worry about that screen on the front. So it's also like a bigger system. It's just nicer. Everything's more compact.
Yeah.
I'm excited for their new hardware. I'm always excited for the new hardware. I think that like people will forever be angry that their systems aren't as powerful as the rest. I think there was even like a line in this news story about
they want to have low power design experience would be a plus.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
They have experience working on low power devices.
I think they're just not interested in that arms race.
Like a flashlight.
Yeah.
I was going to say like those old video game watches.
Oh yeah.
Like they had arcade games on
game and watch. Yeah, I don't think they're interested in that graphics arm race like everybody else is. I think like they are a toy company. Like they want to make games first. Hardware is basically just a vehicle they use to make their games.
Yeah.
And we'll see if that pays off.
Yeah. Moving on, the developer who threatened Gabe Newell's life resigned from his company this week. Did you guys hear about this story?
Yeah. And if you haven't heard about it, he technically and literally threatened his life, I guess, but clearly he didn't threaten his life. Like, I'm gonna kill Gabe Newell.
I mean, okay, he said, I'm going to kill Gabe Newell.
I think he did say,
His quote was, I am going to kill Gabe Newell, he is going to die.
Yeah.
In a tweet.
Yeah,
in a Twitter rant.
So what happened was his game came out of early access, and that's a big deal. Like, your game's now out and available. It's not early access.
Paranautical Activity.
Good name.
Yeah. Is the name of the game. And actually, I have...
on Steam.
I have gameplay footage.
But the issue was, for a few hours after it was not in early access, it still had the early access like flag on it on Steam. And he thought this was costing them so many sales. Like, you only get to launch once.
Yeah.
And it's imperative that, you know, you launch strong. And he was very, very concerned about that early access tag. I think that's probably a little bit of baloney.
You understand too. I can understand he's saying it's a little bit of baloney that the tag would have kept people away, I guess. But like, I get it. Like, you know what I mean? Hey, this is our giant moment. We're doing it. We've launched it. And there's one thing that's outside of my control. There's nothing I can do other than vent about it. Like, he did write in emails. He was trying to tell Steam. He was trying to alert them.
I mean, you can see his Twitter. He had like a meltdown.
Yeah.
Right? And like, then it culminated in the death threat.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not justifying it. Don't be stupid on social media. Don't threaten people's lives.
So he apparently has a history of...
Right.
Flying off the handle?
Yeah, of that. And then, so he ended up, you know, Valve pulled their game.
Right. Yeah, Valve's response was like, well, fuck you, and took the game down.
And so that's now their game's like not being sold in the number one store on PC.
Good work.
Yeah.
Well, that's why the guy resigned. Yeah. It's like, look, I'm resigning. Please put the game back up.
Yeah, because there are other people working there.
Which sucks, right? It's like everybody else works on this game,
They spend all this time
working
on the game. I couldn't tell how many people work at this developer. There's not a lot of information.
Even if it's one other guy who has, like, for the last 2 years been like, honey, I'm sorry I'm going to be late tonight. And they're at the home stretch, and his boss is like, I'm going to murder you. Like, people need to be responsible on social media. I think, like, I don't think people understand that tone doesn't carry through those channels the way it does when your wife's like, oh, I'm going to kill you, Damon. Like, that doesn't mean anything. She's just joking around.
You're married to Fred Flintstone?
No, it's like, you know, maybe if I did something that pissed Greg off, he'd be like, oh, I'm going to kill Damon. It's totally different. Like, typing that into Twitter, like choosing to type that into Twitter, is so different.
Yeah.
There's a little bit more nuance here that, you know, I don't know how much we want to get into it, but like he has a point that like Steam, he considers Steam a monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, they're not responding to this concern of mine. They don't need to because they just have this entire business on lock. I wish there was more competition. I wish, you know, places like, you know, the Humble
Store. Those are probably valid concerns.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what, like, he had, like, a relatively reasonable point in the midst of all the kind of insanity.
Yeah.
Not relatively. He had a totally reasonable point. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
It was a poor presentation, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he has a history of that sort of behavior, I think anyone who's going to choose to put that out in public, it probably is a little off anyway.
Yeah.
It's also
probably needs to be medicated.
Yep.
I just think the conventional wisdom, I don't think that the launch is. Like, I saw some indie developers responding, being like, we sell more every Steam sale than we did at launch.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, because word has to spread, right?
Yeah. Just make a great game.
Like, nothing about this makes me want to play your video game.
Yeah.
Like, it's the opposite, actually. I mean, and I'm looking, I watched the trailer, and I'm like, this looks pretty interesting. It's, you made, you know, Sorcerer Call of Duty with Minecraft blocks. Interesting. That's cool.
Sorcerer Call of Duty.
I'll play it. That sounds fun. But, like, I hear something like that, and I'm like, I don't want to give this guy money. And why would I want to give his company money? And why would I want to support his game or anybody like that?
But now knowing that he's resigned and it's not his company anymore, that doesn't... You still have this sort
he's
of negative...
He's dead to me forever.
I know he is, but now the game, you wouldn't consider
the game still
a shot
taunted, painted by his ghost.
Can I tweet that? He's dead to me forever? Can people be like, that's a death threat. I feel bad for the people that worked on it with him, but like...
It's a crappy situation all around.
Yeah, it's a crappy situation.
Just unfortunate. Lesson learned. Don't tweet death threats, even if you are joking.
Yeah.
Just don't do that. That's just one of the things you just put in the never do pile. And
keep it in your drafts.
Yeah.
Don't publish your drafts.
Don't tweet that. You guys know it's the 10th anniversary of Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Oh, I didn't.
Now, does that make you feel
weird? Damn, that's true?
Yeah.
Also,
wow.
I looked up for a separate project. I learned today that Avatar the movie is 5 years old.
Oh, but that's surprising. Like, that's surprising to me. Anyway,
yeah.
GTA, San Andreas. It's a big deal when this game came out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Amazing game.
Not my favorite Grand Theft Auto. Yeah. Vice City is my favorite. This one, and then, so I was really excited for this release because I loved 3 and I loved Vice City. This one actually ended up, I don't say this about too many games, I think it's too big for me. Mm-hmm. I sort of lost my way and kind of forgot what I was supposed to be doing and I get distracted and I'm trying to go into restaurants and eat so I can gain.
Yeah, that was exercise. Like the mechanic that went too far. Yeah. I thought.
All the RPG mechanics?
Yeah. I never did that. I never
did. You do the lowrider? Like you could make the cars dance and do that minigame?
Yeah, yeah.
Riding bikes?
It's a really interesting game because it's simultaneously one of the more serious games they've made in terms of setting, but it's also utterly ridiculous. Like
this is the jetpack, right?
Yeah, it's a very goofy game at times.
This is the iOS version, the iPad version.
This is such an iconic area too. This is right in the
Grove Street.
Right in his.
You remember doing this Let's Play with Leah?
I think I did.
This is you and Leah's.
And she had never played GTA before, and that was fascinating. Sort of explaining that, and then we played it on a system that didn't have buttons. So, if you're watching this, going, this is a comedy of errors, then yes, that's exactly what it was.
But she probably apologized every time she ran someone over.
But for this release, they enhanced the visuals, and there's better draw distance and more detail in the cars. So for the 10th anniversary, this version is basically now up on Xbox 360.
Yeah,
minus the touchscreen controls.
Achievements.
It's in 720p. They added achievements.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
So
the only bad thing is that
it's
not on Xbox One and it's not on PlayStation platforms.
Yeah,
so just Xbox 360.
Weird to get a 360 port of a game in 2014.
I'm sure it's time and money, but they should have put it on next gen.
Yeah.
Because I think that's cool. If it was on Xbox One, I'd buy it tonight. You know what I mean?
Just to mess around. Because it'd be in HD and you could play it again and there's just lots of fun.
Now I'm not going to reconnect the Xbox 360.
San Andreas was so big.
Yeah.
Like I played that game I feel like I played it for weeks.
It's the only one that I never finished.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I agree with that. I just made it to the third city, Las Vegas, and I've been playing it for 50 hours, and I think I was just done at that point.
I had a good time with it. Yeah, that was one that I beat, did everything with, and then I had a save out that I always started in the dirt landing strip. And you climb in the plane, and it was one of those where you climb in the plane, and it was Spirit in the Sky was always on as you took off, and then I would just skydive out,
and
just go around, die, not turn it off, the next day turn it back on, do that exact same thing again.
Yeah. Remember when there was rumors of there was a Yeti, or
I thought they found him. I thought that was true.
Is that true? That ended up being true?
I don't even remember if it ended up being true.
I thought it turned out not to be true. I thought it wasn't true, and that's why there's the joke about it in Red Dead.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, that it was never. But yeah, that was the whole thing.
I feel like it was fake.
It's like when EGM had screenshots of Sonic and Tails and Smash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which eventually became true, but not, at the time.
Yeah. Sure.
All right. Toys R Us has put the Breaking Bad action figures on indefinite sabbatical. You guys following this story?
Yes.
So, Florida mom notices they have Breaking Bad toys in Toys R Us and complains, starts a petition at change.org,
to get tell us how you really feel about change.org.
I'll tell you how I feel about online petitions.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though this worked, which
that's
is like
crazy
totally like
to me.
8,500 signatures got Toys R Us to pull.
That was it?
Yeah, only 8,500 got them to pull the toys from stores.
Wow.
I think they just don't even want to mess. They're
I'm
just
sure.
Like, whatever.
And I'm sure those aren't like the lifeblood of Toys R Us.
Yeah.
Like how many Breaking Bad action figures are they selling?
Yeah. When
every
did
day?
The show end? It's over a year ago.
Yeah,
right?
It's been over a year now.
So I guess I didn't know. I don't know if it's every Toys R Us location, but in reading about the story, I guess they have a whole adult action figure section.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
they have Jason.
That's why, yeah.
That's what other people were tweeting. They're like, does Florida Mom understand the other figures that are in this store? Like
yeah.
Jason Voorhees, like
all figure, yeah, yeah.
They sell mature video games.
Yeah, that's right.
Like imagine, think of the horrible things you can do
that's
in
right.
mature video games. They sell The Evil Within.
Yeah.
But Breaking Bad action figures.
Well, don't get this toy, that. Get the game where you can behead somebody.
This clearly inspires violence. Just looking at Walt here.
Yeah, this grandfather with a gun action figure that most kids won't recognize.
Well, I was having a similar argument on another podcast about like, oh yeah, and the fact that kids could get into Netflix and watch Breaking Bad. I'm like, what a slow burn Breaking Bad is
yeah.
for them to be like, oh man, I can't wait to see, like it's a close-up of a fly for the first 2.5 minutes of an episode.
You have to, plus my 10-year-old nephew would be bored to tears
exactly.
with Breaking
oh,
Bad.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's also something you'd have to sneak in 5 to 10 or 20 minute intervals over the course of 100 episodes. Like that's a long life of,
yeah.
it's easier to just to steal porn.
Yeah.
And then you're 5 minutes in and out, yeah. hopefully, if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, that's true.
You're a pro.
If not, watch Breaking Bad. There's plenty. Yeah, I think this is a funny story.
Like, it is funny.
Toys R Us is when I hear a headline start with Toys R Us, I think it's going to head into Toys
Bankrupt.
R Us is going out of business.
Close.
Yeah. Yeah, because KB Toy Store didn't make it. You remember them back in the
yeah.
90s and 80s?
We had KB Toys. We had a Children's Palace in Kansas City.
Yeah, I remember that.
You had one of those?
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I think it was,
really?
It was my favorite place.
Well, it's like F.A.O. Schwartz, where like there's like the piano you dance on or something and toys you touch?
Probably, but like the building was shaped like a palace,
oh,
kind of.
Oh, cool.
My least favorite was there was a toy store that they opened up in New Jersey when I lived there, and me and my brothers were like, we gotta go to this toy store. It looks awesome. It's called Noodle Cadoodle.
Oh,
this store is gonna be amazing. And we went in there and we're like, oh shit, it's all learning toys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
which is
yeah.
just like, hey, do you guys like rock and roll? Like, yeah, well, here's how to make your own geodes. Like, what? I don't want this.
Yeah.
It was all like, they had video games, but it was all like Math Blaster and
yeah, Donkey Kong Jr. Math.
God.
I think making my own geodes sounds pretty. Cool.
Well,
oh, you're one of those kids.
You're one of those kids. I'd rather get the Breaking Bad.
I got a rock polisher for Christmas one year.
Wow.
That really?
Yeah, it would make these super.
They're not
cool.
rocks; they're minerals, Marie.
Damn it, Marie!
How did you connect that? That's amazing! Wow.
We were just talking about.
I hope everybody gets what just happened right there because that was brilliant.
Greg.
Yeah.
I hear DC spoiled the identity of new Robin.
They did,
but I don't know what that means.
So right.
I didn't know the result. Like I didn't
so
know
we're
Robin
spoiling
went anywhere.
It right now on top of that.
I didn't know. Well,
so,
yeah, so
we're talking. There's been a lot of DC news this week
yeah.
and a whole bunch of stuff. So if we're talking about this right here in the comics, yes, that's Damian Wayne. He's Bruce Wayne's son.
Like by blood.
Yeah.
Let's
who's
back up.
Who's
Bruce Wayne has a son.
Ra's al Ghul.
Who's his mom?
Oh,
yeah. They drugged him and they made him fuck and then he had
what?
The kid. Yeah, yeah.
And he didn't know about Damian for a long
no?
time.
No. Yeah. Well, yeah. Damian just shows up on his doorstep one day, father, and he's Damian.
Holy crap!
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a great storyline.
Okay.
When they drew it too, they're bumping uglies and they're getting it on. He's naked except for his cowl.
This
is awesome scene of him making out with Talia, but he's still got his head horns on.
That's weird.
It's great. It was great. It was a cool story.
Okay.
And then he shows up. He dies, but not like it was this weird death for Damian Wayne as well because they just had this awesome run where the Joker was back. Like the Joker had fallen off
yeah.
for a while. He came back after like a
and
year.
And this isn't part of the New 52.
This is New 52.
This is New 52.
Wait, I'm sorry. Hold on. So, what I'm talking about right now with the Joker and all this stuff and this is all New 52.
Okay.
However, when they did the New 52, which of course is the reboot of the DC universe, Batman's the one that changed the least.
Okay.
So Damian was pre-New 52 as well,
okay.
but then they just kept it all. Like, well, this is actually interesting, and this okay. part works, so they kept it. He died, but he died really shittily, so I'm happy he's back, because he's a good Robin, and really good character. But they'd done this awesome thing, Joker is back, it was called the Death of the Family, he at one point made it look like he had taken everyone's faces off and was going to feed it to them and stuff. It was like really... really crazy shit, and I was like, oh yeah, I hope, like, nobody's really gonna die, and then they're like, oh, Damian Wayne dies, and I was like, oh, did Joker get? And you read the book, and it's just some fucking lame-o guy like stabs him with a sword. Like, that's stupid as hell.
But that's how he died?
Yeah.
Some lame-o guy stabbed him with a sword.
Yep. Okay. Like, they were fighting or whatever. I mean, it wasn't just like he was like walking on the street. No, I mean, like, they had a fight scene, but it just wasn't as cool as all the Joker stuff that had just happened.
Okay.
So, anyways, yeah, he died. Now they've been doing this thing where, you know, they're like, there's going to be a Robin by this point. Like, Batman's out. He's trying to bring Damian back through the Lazarus pits with the Ra's al Ghul family and everything else. But it was like, is it going to be Damian? Is it not going to be Damian? Nobody really knew. And then DC put out their solicits, which is like, hey, here's the comics coming in January and this cover and like Damian's back and it's like, okay. Oh, your story isn't even wrapped up right now currently. Like these books are still coming out and we're not like sure who it's going
to
be.
So they would give solicits to like IGN Comics.
Well, what happens, they give it to comic book stores Retailers. So they know what to order. But gotcha. Comic book stores just put that out. Like it's a Diamond Previews book you get. It's huge. And you can just page through and see every comic.
I want you to explain every trade paperback to me because that was incredible. You blacked out. it was amazing.
There's a lot of information.
It was amazing.
I understand.
I got it. It was crazy. Like you were just like, oh, there's a guy. There's another guy. But then there's a Joker and he feeds his people's faces.
It was the new 52 part that threw me.
You're nine steps ahead, and I'm like, wait, he fucks with a cow?
I'll find that frame for you because that's
wow.
Awesome.
Once the
frame.
Show's over, explain Batman Incorporated to me.
Okay, that's easy.
Be another episode.
Sure.
Thank you for explaining that.
No problem.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
What I do.
Before we go, let's do
some. I
thought
there was another Lady Robin.
That is the movie. The movie is being hinted now that girl.
I mean, the machine started.
Which is going to be awesome. I hope.
I hope.
Batman v Superman?
Just the fact that they're doing, like, you know.
That they're doing that story.
When we saw the Ben Affleck Batman and they started describing it, everybody's like, it sounds like Dark Knight Returns. And this would be the Robin from Dark Knight Returns. And so I was like, fuck, yes.
That's awesome.
Try to fit in a couple of listener mails here. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
You're welcome.
Was that like a ventriloquist trick?
Yeah.
Hey, listeners. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address at gamescoop@ign.com, just like Holt did.
Steve Holt. It was a race.
He says, what game is your first runner-up for Game of the Year thus far? Hearthstone clearly being Game of the Year.
Obviously.
What's coming up second? It might seem a little silly to pick a game of the year and a runner-up right now before all the big games are out this year. But what is Game Scoop, if not a little bit silly?
That's what we call it. Silly Scoop.
Yeah, this is easy for me.
What?
It's Shovel Knight and...
That was what I was going to say.
And Rogue Legacy, I think, would be number two.
I haven't played Rogue Legacy yet.
Really good games.
Yeah. But is Rogue Legacy even eligible since it was already nominated last year, right?
Oh, last year?
Game of the Year?
Oh, it's dead to me then.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it just came out on PC then, and then it came out to PlayStation platforms and stuff.
I was going to say either Shovel Knight or Mario Kart 8, actually.
Oh, man.
Wow, really? I didn't know that.
With the conceit that I have not yet played Shadow of Mordor, and I highly anticipate liking that game a lot.
Mine's South Park still. Mm. South Park's the most fun I've had
with
a game this year. Like, and I was like, it was one weekend, and I know the mechanics aren't that deep, and yada yada yada. But I had such a blast playing that game.
Yeah, that was an excellent game. I remember we were texting each other while we were playing it, just talking about
how
awesome it was.
You got to this thing?
Yeah,
let's go.
Looking for cheats.
I'm not allowed to nominate Master Chief Collection, but I want to give it a special. That's absolutely going to be my game of the year. The two best games I've played so far are Smash and Shadow of Mordor.
Smash on 3DS, yeah.
So I thought, I know you liked Shadow of Mordor, but I know it sort of like came apart for you.
I warmed on it. I guess I don't know if I've been on a Game Scoop since then.
I thought you liked it right away.
No, I didn't. And I didn't dislike it, but I was just like, yeah, okay. And I'm not crazy, because so many people in the office have said that.
Well, I did the same thing.
Marcellus was about to give up on it. Lots of people were about to give up on it. I'm like, nah, you got to play until A, you get to the second area, and B, you get to brand orcs. And then that game absolutely opens up and becomes like a different game.
See, I gave up with everybody else. I played the 2 hours of it, and I was like, I love the mechanics. I see where this is going. I don't care about this world. I'm not an orcs and elves guy.
There's a whole area with blue skies and green grass.
But it's still a bunch of wet ogres getting stabbed. That was my problem with that game. But I enjoy it. It's just sort of mindless to me.
Yeah.
Every hour that I played, I enjoyed more than the hour previous. I don't think that game starts strong. The very, very opening is cool, but then you're just turned loose in this world, and then it's like, it doesn't feel that great right away. Like, I know people give me a hard time for saying the controls are complicated, but they are. And then I fought some king orc that I found right away. I think it's on purpose. I think the game intentionally tries to have you fight like a really strong captain orc right away and see if you'll sink or swim and learn about the nemesis system. But I didn't understand what was going on yet at that point, and like he kicked my butt, and Then the more I played, yeah, that game's fantastic. It's my runner-up for Game of the Year.
All right, we got time for one more email this week. This is Lucas. He says, hello, my name is Lucas.
Hey, Lucas.
Hey, Lucas.
I enjoyed your movie.
Which one?
Lucas.
George Lucas. Star Wars.
No.
Remember the Suzanne Vega song, Luca?
No.
It was sad. Help, my name is Luca. I live on the second floor.
Yeah.
I live upstairs from you.
Oh.
Yes, I think you've seen me before. But it's sad because it's about child abuse.
I don't
know. Anyway.
I would not have guessed that going, though you made it sound like this loving jingle. That
it's sad. It's really catchy, but it's a sad song.
Like, hey, you left your keys downstairs. I brought your keys. Oh, God, there's a kid getting beat. I didn't know that, man.
Damon just laughs and laughs.
Child abuse.
Oh, child abuse.
This is Lucas. I'm wondering which horror game I should buy for a Halloween all-nighter. I am new to horror games. I want to be sacred out of my pants. Three games I was considering were Outlast, Evil Within, and Alien Isolation. But I'm open to any recommendations. Also, tell everyone for me to keep up the good work. It is really appreciated.
Thanks. Resident Evil Remake.
But is that out?
I don't know. I mean, get it on GameCube.
Just get the GameCube.
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I do love that.
When I just think about
that one or Resident Evil 4.
Everyone knows I'm not a fan of the spookies, but Resident Evil Remake is the incredible, incredible game.
To me, it's Evil Within, and I love Resident Evil Remake. Yeah, sure. That's one of my favorite games of all time, honestly. And it's on GameCube. They made a weird Wii port for it that nobody knew about, nobody played. So if you have a Wii U or a Wii U, you can play that there. I don't know how well it holds up or how well it controls these days, but I'm sure it's okay. But Evil Within actually really surprised me in how much it genuinely creeped me out at times. Like, shut the lights off, put the surround sound headphones on.
The monster designs are so creepy.
Yeah, they're really, and it's your classic survival horror, right? Like, you're down on like six bullets left, and you've got to kill this thing, and then you use all the bullets, and you're like, I have one weird bow I can shoot, and you run like hell. Like, it's creepy. It's awesome. It's definitely something you want to play on Halloween.
So do you think if Lucas is trying to pull an all-nighter, is there a chance that he could get too frustrated with, like, what if you just get stuck? Like, I have nothing but sniper ammo, and it's a close quarters boss. Like,
well,
all right.
Get better at video games.
Learn how to spell scared.
I would say, and maybe Greg will agree with me, Dead Space.
Oh, Dead Space would be great.
The original.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, they're both good.
Yeah.
Greg, I think, likes the second one a little bit more. I like the first one a little bit more, but you can't really go wrong. I mean,
and
obviously.
Nobody likes three.
I was going to say, they're both good. We blacked out three.
That was it.
No, don't even worry about it. Sorry.
Yeah, I actually forgot about that. But do you have another suggestion?
No, I was on that. I mean, what I'd say, get Costume Quest 2 for Halloween.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
Yeah.
Maybe early evening you could start playing Costume Quest 2. It's fun. And then get into Evil Within.
Yeah, I'm waiting for consoles.
Yeah.
Me too.
Before we go this week.
Oh, Dame's running.
What's going on?
We got a runner.
We got a package in the mail.
Oh.
From, who's this from? Jonathan Kirst. He says, these are all the scoops I have for you today. And we have a cat litter scoop. And this thing, which is like getting the cereal out of the grocery store.
Sure.
And then this is an ice cream scoop.
Ooh, that's a nice ice cream scoop.
Holy crap.
There's all these.
There's so many scoops!
Yeah.
Look at all these scoops!
Yeah. It's pretty good. Good
one. That's amazing.
Pretty good one. Jonathan, that's the name?
That's a good joke.
Kurtz.
Good thing.
Damn good joke.
Good on you. Good on you.
That's prop comedy right there.
It is prop comedy. He's basically the new Gallagher.
Yeah, that's great. We're top.
I leave you this week with my new song, The Returned. It's a spooky instrumental track I released for Halloween. Hopefully it suits the cooling weather and darker days. You can find The Returned in your favorite music service. My name is Damon, this is IGN Game Scoop, and we're out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.